Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-212011.com. That's May-21-2011.com with another study in the book of Daniel. This will be the second in our series in the book of Daniel, chapter 8. We're now on Daniel 8, verse 4. The title of this study is God's Purpose for the Ram Was That No Living Thing Could Stand Against or Be Delivered from Him. Let me read that verse first, and then we'll go into an introduction, which is a review of our last study, and then we'll look more closely at verse 4. Let me read verse 4 of Daniel chapter 8. It reads, "And I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great." In our last study of Daniel chapter 8, verses 1 through 3, that you can click on to be refreshed of, Daniel had a vision in the third year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, which we had learned was in 547 B.C., while Daniel was in exile due to Nebuchadnezzar, an earlier king of Babylon, having conquered Judah, Jerusalem, and its temple in 587 B.C., and having taken Daniel into captivity in Babylon, along with many other Israelites. Indeed, God had used the Babylonians to destroy his very own Israelite people and take many of them into captivity due to their rebellion against his law, as they worshiped the idols of the nations that surrounded them and in their midst at what were called high places on Israel's hills and mountains and under what seemed to be almost every tree. For the Israelites greatly abandoned Yahweh their God, and therefore Yahweh abandoned them and gave them over to the nations surrounding them to be utterly destroyed, just as he said he would do in his law if they turned from him to worship other gods and idols. Now, in Daniel's vision, described in Daniel chapter 8, we were told that he was taken to the province of Elam in verse 2. And we had learned that this word Elam means eternity. Thus, spiritually speaking, Daniel was taken to the place of eternity in his vision, which place can be none other than heaven itself. And just previous, the scripture also stated that he was at Shushan in the palace. More literally, Daniel says, "I was in Shushan the palace," which could be translated, "I was in the province of," the palace, that is, of Shushan. Whatever the case, because we had learned that the word Shushan means lily, and the word lily in the Bible represents magnificent glory, majesty, beauty, and even Christ himself, for he's called the lily of the valleys in the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse 1, we can say spiritually that Daniel was in the place of the lily, that magnificent, beautiful, majestic, and even that place of Jesus Christ himself, our King in heaven. Furthermore, Daniel, in his vision, not only said he was in the palace of Shushan, but he also said, "I was by the river of Ulai." But because we are looking at this spiritually, where we learned that in his vision, Daniel was taken to the palace, which is that place of our King, the lily, Jesus Christ in heaven, it would make better sense to translate the sentence, which reads, "And I was by the river of Ulai," as "I was above the river of Ulai." That's a perfectly legitimate translation in the Hebrew. Because we had learned in our last verse that the river of Ulai symbolized the streaming forth of God's word or gospel by Christ's mighty ones, that is, his elect or saints. And so spiritually, the picture God is painting in Daniel's vision is that Daniel was taken to the vantage point of King Jesus in heaven above to be able to look down and see the streaming forth of God's word or gospel through Christ's people on earth during what we will gradually realize was the 1955 years of the church age, from Pentecost of 33 AD to May 21, 2011, according to our very accurate biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see. Indeed, in his vision, Daniel was given a better than bird's eye view from heaven over what occurred during, first, the sending forth of the word of God or gospel to the world during the church age, and then what took place to bring about the spiritual great tribulation from May 21, 1988 to May 21, 2011, and even to this very day, as we shall see. Now, as we had learned, what Daniel next saw in his vision was a ram that had two high horns. And the angel Gabriel interpreted that ram for Daniel to be the kings of Media and Persia in verse 20 of Daniel 8. Those two kings we had discovered were King Astyages of Media and King Cyrus of Persia. We considered them to be the one and the same ram because eventually Astyages, king of the Medes, who reigned from 585 to 550 BC, was conquered by Cyrus, the Persian king, and the Median kingdom therefore became a part of the Persian kingdom, as Cyrus had occupied and plundered Ecbatana, the Median capital, in 550 BC. Then later, in 539 BC, of course, the then one Median Persian kingdom under the monarchy of King Cyrus, that one ram, conquered Babylon in 539 BC, and Darius the Mede, who was the son of Astyages, was given rule over Babylon by Cyrus the king, who had become the ruler over the entire Median Persian kingdom when, as already stated, he had conquered the Medes and their king, Astyages, in 550 BC. We further had learned in our last study that the two horns of the ram represented the power and strength of both the Median and the Persian kingdoms. And in that these two horns were said to be high, meant that both those kingdoms had great power and strength. For in the Bible, horns are symbolic of power and strength and even authority. And in that we were told that one of these horns was higher than the other, and the higher came up last, it meant that the Persian king and kingdom eventually became stronger and more powerful than the Median king and kingdom, which was exactly what we saw in the historical timeline, because remember, Cyrus of Persia conquered Astyages of Media, proving that the higher horn, the Persian kingdom, had become stronger and more powerful over time than the Median kingdom. And yet, before the Median kingdom was conquered, both kings were two high horns, each being quite strong and powerful. Now, even though that all took place literally in the historical record, we had learned it was but a foreshadow or type of events that would take place at the time of the end. For Gabriel had said to Daniel in verse 20 of Daniel 8, "Understand, O son of man, for at the time of the end shall be the vision." And according to the very accurate biblical timeline of history, the time of the end, that is the time of the end of the world, began on May 21, 1988, when God's final judgment on this world began at the house of God, 1 Peter 4:17, the corporate Christian church, which all Christian churches worldwide are a part of. Yes, this judgment on the Christian churches continues even to this very day, as they continue to be blinded and deceived by the virtually perfect counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, that you can click on to see who he is, Satan himself. This is why we, God's true people, had been commanded to depart out from all the Christian churches so that we do not partake of her sins and so come under the spiritual plagues of God. And you can click on Revelation 8:4 to see that as listed in Revelation 8, 9, 13, and 16 that you can click on for information on that, the spiritual plagues that have been coming on the church ever since May 21, 1988. And you can click on why you should leave all churches. And to learn more about that final tribulation that started on May 21, 1988, you can click on the final tribulation to download a complete book that describes the final tribulation. Anyway, continuing to summarize what we had learned in our last study that you can click on once again to be refreshed, there was a deeper spiritual meaning to the ram, which the two high horns, that is, with the two high horns, that is, we had found that the ram symbolized Christ himself, and the two high horns of the ram, Jesus Christ, symbolized the great spiritual power and strength of his church. For the number two, in there being two horns, symbolizes the church. And you can click on Bible number two to see that. And the horns themselves symbolize, like I've already said, power and strength, even authority. One horn of the ram, Jesus Christ, symbolized the Old Testament church, and the other horn of the ram symbolized the New Testament church. Then, that horn that was higher and came up last, we found, symbolized the New Testament church, because it came up last after the Old Testament church in time. And it was higher because it was greater in spiritual power and strength than the Old Testament church. Okay, having there briefly reviewed what was covered in our last study, let's continue further in our study of Revelation chapter 8 by moving on to our verse 4. Let me read that once again. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beasts might stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand. But he did according to his will and became great. Once again, the first sentence reads, and I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward. Notice here how the ram pushed toward only three points of the compass, westward, northward, and southward. Why is that? Why did it not say that the ram pushed eastward as well? Most can probably already answer this if they have followed along with our studies throughout the last 15 years or so. Yes, spiritually speaking, by listing only three directions,
by which the ram pushed forward, God is emphasizing that it was God's very own purpose for the ram to so push forward in the way that it did. And you can click on Bible number 3 to see that. And because we were told by Gabriel the angel in Daniel's vision that the ram represented the kings of Media and Persia, verse 20, we should emphasize then that it was God's own purpose for the kings of Media and Persia, that is Astyages and Cyrus, symbolized by the ram's two horns, that is, and the ram, to have pushed forward and conquered the rulers and peoples that they did to eventually form what became the entire Persian Empire, because the Median kingdom of Astyages was eventually conquered by Cyrus of Persia in 550 BC. As I've said a couple times previous, and Media, the Median kingdom, was integrated into the Persian kingdom to be called the Medo-Persian Empire by historians. After the Medes were conquered by Cyrus of Persia in 550 BC, the Persian kingdom grew even further by its conquering of Lydia in 547 BC. The Babylonian Empire in 539 BC and Egypt in 525 BC, as seen in the following map. So, looking at the map, we see that the pushing forward of the ram, Astyages of Media and then Cyrus of Persia, was incredibly successful. First, during the time period before the Median kingdom was conquered by the Persians, the Median kingdom under Astyages was quite successful, which is why, being symbolized by one of the ram's horns, it was said to be high, just as the other horn, symbolizing the Persian kingdom, was also said to be high in verse 3. But eventually the Persian kingdom under Cyrus became stronger and more powerful, and so that second horn on the ram, symbolizing the Persian kingdom, was said to be the higher horn, and it came up last, or after the first horn. Verse 3. But now, after Daniel said that he saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, the authorized King James then says, so that no beasts might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. Let's first look at the sentence, so that no beast might stand before him. In this sentence, the Hebrew feminine noun, translated as beasts, plural, can be better translated in this day as animals or living things. Totally legitimate in the Hebrew. And the conjunction that begins this sentence and is translated in the authorized King James as so that is more literally just translated simply as and. Thus our verse now reads, and no animals could stand before him. Or we could say, and no living things could stand before him, either one. Furthermore, since the context of our verse has to do with the ram, symbolizing the kings of Media and Persia, pushing forward to conquer other kingdoms, it would not be animals that could not stand before the ram, that is, stand before the conquering kings of Media and Persia, but it must be rulers and kingdoms that could not stand before the ram, and rulers and kingdoms are people, not animals. Thus, it would be best to use the translation living things instead of animals in our verse, because people can more readily be considered living things than animals, For unlike animals, people are created in the image of God. So in order to make that distinction, our sentence that reads, "And no animals could stand before him," is better translated, "And no living things," meaning no people in this case, "could stand before him." Wherever the ram, symbolizing the Median and Persian kings, pushed forward to conquer, no peoples could stand against him. They had great success whichever direction they turned, and as we previously mentioned, this was God's purpose as symbolized by the number three in the three directions in which the ram pushed forward: westward, northward, and southward. But then, our verse continues by declaring, "Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand," that is the ram's hand. This sentence is pretty self-explanatory. It means exactly what it says. Not only could no peoples stand against the advances of the ram that symbolizes the Median and Persian kings, but neither could any deliver out of his hand. Indeed, once the Median and Persian kings pushed forward and conquered a given people, none could snatch them back, recover them, or as the Authorized King James Version translates it, none could deliver them out of the ram's hand, namely the hands of the Median and Persian kings. They were just too powerful and strong, as symbolized in both the ram's horns being high, although, as previously learned, the horn representing the Persian kingdom became higher at the last, as the Persian kingdom eventually conquered the Median kingdom, once again in 550 BC, and then the Median kingdom became part of the Persian kingdom under King Cyrus, which then together and later conquered the Babylonian kingdom in 539 BC, as mentioned multiple times. Now, not only could no people stand before this ram, nor deliver out of his hand, the final sentence of our verse reads, "But he," that is the ram, symbolizing the kings of Media and Persia, "did according to his will and became great." This simply lets us know that the ram, symbolizing the kings of Persia and Media, pushed forward and conquered whoever he desired. So it isn't difficult to see how the ram became great. Or it could be translated, "But he did according to his will and magnified himself." Yes, it was the Median king, Astyages, that first became great in the years previous to 550 BC, and then the Persian king Cyrus gradually became greater than the Median king, as evidenced by his conquering the Median kingdom in 550 BC. As we've mentioned many times now, to become one very great Medo-Persian kingdom that continued to expand for many years to come under Cyrus, and then others, until finally conquered by Alexander the Great of Grecia, or Greece. As we shall see further in our study of Daniel 8, I believe it will be in our next study that we'll be focusing on that. But now, before closing this particular study on verse 4 of Daniel 8, let's begin to train ourselves to see the deeper spiritual application of Daniel 8 for the time of the end. That is the end of the world that we have been in ever since God's final judgment on the world began at the house of God, that is the Christian churches, 1 Peter 4:17, on May 21, 1988, according to the most accurate, you can click on to see why it is absolutely accurate, biblical timeline of history. When Daniel says, "I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward," and no peoples or living things could stand before him, neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but he did according to his will and became great. The ram symbolizes Christ. And the two horns on the ram symbolize his church, as we had learned in our previous study. Therefore, our verse paints a picture of the 1955 years of the church age, from Pentecost of 33 AD to May 21, 1988, during which it was God's very own purpose that Christ, symbolized by the ram, and his church, symbolized by the ram's two horns, push forward, conquering peoples, not physically or by war, but by the gospel. Wherever Christ willed to go, they went. And no living thing, whether peoples or Satan and his host, could keep Christ and his church by the Holy Spirit from saving all those for whom he had come to save. And every time that someone became saved through hearing the gospel or word of God during the church age, and the spiritual word of God, and Christ is that spiritual word, it revealed that the kingdom of Satan had been conquered, and Satan had been bound in the pit at the cross, in the sense that he could no longer keep any of God's true people or his elect, predestined, foreordained from before the foundation of the world, from hearing the gospel and becoming saved from every nation in the world. Oh yes, Satan could still go about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he might devour, of course, and bringing about much evil in the world and the church, as he did. But he was restrained in the church by the Holy Spirit during the church age. So the church was protected to a high degree until the Holy Spirit removed himself from the corporate Christian church. 2 Thessalonians 2:7. And listen to 2 Thessalonians 2 verses 1 through 11. You can click on that message. And Satan was released from the pit in which he had been bound since the cross on May 21, 1988, so that he could finally conquer the Christian church to be used of God to begin God's final judgment on the world at the house of God. For judgment had to begin at the house of God. 1 Peter 4:17. And this release of Satan from the pit also began the great tribulation described in Revelation 8, 9, and 13, which you can click on all of those, which was completely spiritual, with the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, also known as the beast, the man of sin, the little horn, and the abomination of desolation, the devil himself, given rulership in the Christian church, wherein none could any longer be eternally saved, but only deceived into worshiping Satan himself, even to this very day, as if he were the very Christ. And as I've said many times, the deception in the churches, the Christian churches that were once protected from Satan overtaking them and ruling in them, that is, ruling in the whole corporate Christian church. Satan had never been allowed to be able to do that, which every Christian church is a part of. But during the Great Tribulation that began on May 21, 1988, he was allowed to be seated as the counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, he was given rulership, yes, in the corporate Christian church, wherein none could any longer be eternally saved, but only deceived into worshiping Satan himself to this very day, as if he were the very Christ. But during the church age, the whole world heard of the Christ, that is the Ram, so he became great worldwide. And no one could deliver out of his hand any of those whom he eternally saved. Which reminds us of what Christ said in John 6:39. And this is the Father's will, which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Indeed, all we who were given to Christ, that is the Ram, in salvation can never be delivered out of his hand. If you've been truly saved, you cannot lose your salvation. There are many that have not been truly saved. In fact, the vast majority of people that claim to be Christians, that claim to be saved, are not. They've made a choice in their own minds that they believe in Christ, but they haven't believed through rebirth, spiritual rebirth of being born from above, and their belief coming through that, and so having the power to follow and obey Christ, which the vast majority of so-called Christians lack. That's why they are not able to follow him. That's why they can't see many of the truths of the Bible, especially during the end time. They know the basics. They hear the basics. The Christian churches are still, you know, teaching the basics, but they're being blinded and deceived in the churches during this time and during the Great Tribulation that is already over, as God's judgment against them, and God is using Satan, the master deceiver, to bring all this about and counterfeit salvations. And in some churches, he's even able to do great miracles, signs and wonders, making people fall backwards. That's certainly not of God. Falling backwards is not of God. Every time someone fell backwards in the Bible, it was God's judgment upon that person or people. And so when you see that happen in the Christian churches, God's judgment has come upon the Christian church. No one, though, is strong enough to deliver us out of Christ's hand. And we have departed out of all the Christian churches long ago to follow Christ and the Holy Spirit, who left the Christian churches long ago. Well, let's just kind of sum up this study. In this study of Revelation 8, verse 4, we learn that the Ram, pushing toward just three points of the compass, westward, northward, and southward, symbolizes that, on the one hand, it was God's purpose that no living things could stand before the kings of Media and Persia, symbolized by the Ram in pushing forward and conquering all the peoples that they did in history. And that no one could deliver any of these conquered peoples out of their hands. But these kings of Media and Persia did as they willed, and they became great. But that's not the deeper understanding. That's not the deeper understanding, the spiritual understanding for the time of the end. Yes, spiritually speaking, for the time of the end, it was also God's purpose that no living things, and that not only includes people, but also includes Satan and his host, could stand before the Christ with his church, also symbolized by the ram with its two horns, in their pushing forward and conquering by saving all the peoples from every nation that God had willed to be saved during the church age, and that no one can ever deliver any of these saved peoples out of Christ's hand. But Christ, who is God, did as God willed, and as is now plain to all, Christ became great. Everyone, virtually everyone, knows and has heard of Christ in the world today, which is a fulfillment of this verse, that he became great. So we see a double application to our verse 4 of Daniel 8, just as we shall see throughout Daniel 8. The earlier application is the foreshadow or type of the latter application. And virtually no commentators have seen that deeper meaning for us today that came at the end of the world that began on May 21, 1988. We've only had the privilege to see that because these truths were shut up and closed to the understanding of anyone until the time came. Now, until the next time, may Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. And Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee great peace.